Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness and for your mercies, Lord, toward us. Thank you for your word, because we know that the entrance of that word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be. Let that word come into our hearts. Let that light shine into our minds, our spirits today, giving us encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Take a minute to engage yourself in the Spirit of the Lord. Just take a few minutes. Praise the Lord. All right. Yesterday, we were talking about a lesson which we want to actually, continue today, kind of. And all that God does for us in the Word of God, encourage us to keep moving forward. You know, that's what it's all about. Let's keep moving forward. Yesterday, we read the lessons, the stories of the children of Israel coming up, against the Red Sea. We talked about your Red Sea moments and how the Lord wants you to keep moving forward. Today's lesson, believe. Hallelujah. Once you put your hands on the plow, you keep your eyes on the promise. The question is, are you all in? That's the question for today. So, hands on the plow, eyes on the promise, all in. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to start here with a scripture that we ended the room with almost towards the end of the room. Yesterday was where we left it. I'm going to start there. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Hands on the plow. Two parts this message today. Jesus said, if you put your hands on the plow and then you look back, then you're not fit for the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? Let's see if we can unpack that. Put your hands on the plow. What does it mean? Well, once you're engaged, if you know a little bit about farming, plowing is what they use, to plow the ground with the cattle and whatever is pulling that plow. Once you're engaged, you got to go straight on, to go straight ahead, no looking back. Whatever is already being plowed, it's being plowed. We gotta keep going straight forward. And we also read yesterday in Luke 17 and 32 where Jesus said, look, remember Lot's wife and so on and so forth. So let's read a few more scriptures to encourage ourselves today. I'm gonna talk more about the promise. What promise? I'm going to talk about that in a bit. Here are just a few scriptures to encourage ourselves even more today. Praise the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The scripture admonishes us again. It says, wherefore seeing that we are passed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm going to be talking about that race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, there was something in his sights. Had something in his sights. And because of that, he endured the cross, despising even the shame and all the things they did to him. And now he got the victory. And he sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood. He, Jesus, my goodness, he shed his blood. Many of the early disciples and apostles, they had to put up their lives. you know, for this gospel. And throughout the ages, you know, many people have had to shed even their blood for, you know, this, you know, to contend for this faith. And what about us? You know, so let's not be weary, you know, as we move forward in this journey. So there's a few things we're going to encourage ourselves on today. Yeah, you know, the race that is set before us, which we're supposed to run, you know, the posture that we should run that race with, and how we should keep our eyes on the promise. And what's the promise? I mean, there are many promises in the Word of God concerning many things. There's, you know, the spiritual things and physical things even. There's some things the Lord even promised us for this year, even in the physical realm. So how do we keep our eyes, you know, on all of these things? In the book of 1 Peter, you know, chapter 3, we are told in verses 13 and 14 that, look, you know, you need to follow through, you know, no matter what, you know, follow through. If you'll be followers of that which is good, you just keep following through. And also, you know, you be ready, whatever it is that you are facing, you'll be ready. Even, you know, even if you have to suffer, you keep going forward. Philippians chapter 3 also tells us that, you know, we must keep pressing forward. We press forward and press forward and press forward. You know, sometimes the pressing is not easy, but we got to keep doing it. You know, that's where the spiritual resilience comes in. You know, capacity that we are trying to build in this room all the time, you know, comes into play in those moments, in those Red Sea moments, and in those moments also where you would otherwise have been discouraged. You got to dig down. You got to dig down. What will be your answer of faith, you know, in the face of difficulties and challenges and, you know, different things that the devil brings up, roadblocks, you know, and even those Red Sea moments, like we talked about yesterday, you know, there is a race that each of us is running. If you have to suffer for it, you know, just be followers of those who have suffered the same. Remember, you know, the Lord has told us that, you know, we got to have patience, and we got to patiently endure no matter what we are facing. If you give up or you quit too soon, you may never see the end result that God intended. And God is particular about the process. You know, not just the end result, but the process. That's why we are going through that process. You know, that's why Jesus didn't, you know, or the Father didn't take us into heaven right away the day we were saved. As a matter of fact, we know that Jesus prayed that the Father should not take us away, you know, but he should keep us from the evil. But there's a process that we must go through. I mean, if the target was always the end goal and that was it, then every one of us should have been raptured or translated as soon as we are born into the kingdom, just be taken away right away. But there is something that God wants us to go through. There's a process and we must go through it. And while you are going through it, there are going to be all kinds of opportunities for your heart to turn back. You know, challenges and different things. Some people will see giants and different things along the way that will prevent them from going in. But one of the rules in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, that Paul was talking to Timothy about, you know, is that, look, the way, you know, for you to even have a chance to win anything, he said, look, a man is not crowned. Somebody that strives for mastery is like an athlete and so on. He's not crowned unless he strives lawfully. But I guarantee you, if you run a race, for you to even get a chance to win the race, you got to first of all finish it. If you don't finish it, you're never going to get a chance to even win. You know, but, and when you do finish it, if you do finish it, you also must have run the race according to the rules. That is so important. God has taught me that through my life. And as a young man, you know, going through track and field and so forth, it came into bear, you know, bearing upon my mind later on in life. You know, you've got to finish the race. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 13, you know, it's not the one that starts the race, but the one that finishes it that will be crowned. You know, some races, you know, I mean, if you go and participate in, you know, some of these, you know, if it's non-professional marathon races and so forth, you know, they, you know, just for participating and finishing, you may get a reward, but you got to finish. You always got to finish. So we need to be finishers and not just starters. You know, I mean, sometimes parents, when their children are growing up, you know, we say things like, you know, be a finisher. Finish what you start. You know, don't just start something and dump it. Young people often, when they're growing up, they go through challenges like that. They don't know how to, some people don't know how to finish what they start. You know, and it can start little. When you are raising kids, if you notice this trend or this trait in them, not to finish what they start, you better deal with it early. Because that thing will carry on through. Give them a chore, you know, that could have lasted 30 minutes. They do 5 minutes and run off. Yeah, well, you know, you need to train them to be a finisher. Finish what you start. You're doing your homework. Stay there and finish it. Whatever it is, finish it. You know, even if you get timeout, you know, don't try to run off. Stay right there and finish it. It's that training that we need to give to our kids. You know, it develops character. It develops resilience. It develops things that we're going to need later on in life. A young child like that that hasn't learned how to finish what they start, you know, they will face a lot of opportunities a lot of situations in the future where they might give up. You know, if a homework or a school project gets too difficult, then they just pack it in because they haven't learned how to finish what they started. You got to stay with it. You know, so don't start something and then run off. You know, God doesn't do anything like that. God finishes what he starts. Matter of fact, before he even started, he already finished it. As I've said to us multiple times, he's called the author and finisher. Not just a starter, but he's called the author and finisher of our faith. You know, so we realize that that's a character trait that we need to learn from the Lord. And that's what we were reading about the Christ here, you know. So author and finisher of our faith. We read that just a minute ago. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews 12 and 2, you know, he endured many things, kept his eyes on the prize, and he wasn't going to be deterred. No matter what, he was going for it. He was all in. And Jesus used to tell them, look, for this purpose, I came. You know, and he, look, I came to call the sinners unto repentance. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I mean, he was focused on the things that he needed to do. It didn't matter what anybody did. He was all in. Now, Are you all in? Can you say that you usually finish what you start? You know, there's so many applications in life about that. You know, some people go to school and they drop out because they're not a finisher. They didn't learn how to finish. Even the little things, you start with little things. You practice resilience, even in the little things. And then by the time they get to the bigger things, if they haven't learned that, well, they're going to quit sometimes. Become one of the statistics that fall by the wayside. You know, but, you know, just because you run up against, challenges doesn't mean you have to quit. If you find that you're going down the road and all of a sudden there's a roadblock, you know, you need to find another way. Sometimes they are mindful and they will put a sign of a detour and they try to give you instructions on how to get around it. But even if they didn't, or you can't find the detour sign, or maybe it fell over, what are you going to do? You're just going to stay there, or you're just going to go back? I mean, you're going somewhere from home, somewhere important. Perhaps you're going to the airport. This is the analogy I've given before. You're going to the airport to catch a flight, and then all of a sudden you see a roadblock and nowhere to go. Are you just going to quit? Or are you just going to give up or just stay there? Most people wouldn't do that. Most people will try to find another way. I mean, that's the only reasonable thing that people do. Find another way. Even if you don't know another way, then you look for another way. You know, that's what people do. Why don't we do that in other things of areas of our lives? People meet roadblocks. Sometimes they just give up. You know, don't give up. You know, find a way. You're going to find a way around that roadblock or whatever it is. You know, you put your hands on the plow. You're set on that journey. There's no going back. You got to finish it. Now, this journey of life, when you said yes to the Lord, well, then there should be no going back. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a major journey that we are all on. And then there are little journeys every day. You know, the major journey is now that we're given a life to Christ, Jesus said, look, I go to prepare a place for you. And when it's all ready, I'm coming to get you. And you will be there with me and so forth. And there's a lot of plans that God has for us hereafter. That's our major destination, to become like the Christ and be with him. We've been doing that series over the last month or so. But there are also little journeys that we have every day. You know, it may be you are in training for something and you got to stick with it. You need to count the cost before you start. You know, if you know you're not going to do it, then why start? Count the cost, you know, before you start. This is the lesson that Jesus was teaching the people, you know, when every time he talked about, you know, putting your hands on the plow and looking back. That was the lesson he was teaching. You know, you need to count the cost before you even start, so that you would know that you can do this thing. You know, that you are, you know, sometimes he told them, he said, look, you know, if you do not count the cost, if a king even wants to go to war, doesn't he sit down and count the cost to see if I have 10,000 troops, can I go up against somebody that has 40,000? And if he thinks he can't, well, maybe he better find another way, you know, to make peace before he starts. Otherwise, you know, he'll be in trouble. Or, you know, someone that's building a house and he can't finish it, but he starts it. Will he not be ridiculed if at the end, he's not able to finish? I mean, Jesus told all these stories, you know, and so, When you are building your house, before you build, you count the cost. You know, always count the cost. You know, same thing is, you want to get married, you better count the cost. you know, because once you start, you stay in there. Let me read a few stories to you. Luke 14, verses, 28 and 29. There's some principles here in the Bible. Let's check them out and read through them. You know, because we want to make sure that this stays with us. This lesson must stay with us. I mean, Jesus was always talking about discipleship here. He said, look, you can't be my disciple if you are not ready to give up everything. You know, father, mother, whatever. You know, and you got to choose me above them all. And he said, look, if you're not ready to bear your cross, Luke 14 and 27, come after me. You can't be my disciple. For which of you, he said in verse 28 of Luke 14, intending to build a tower, will not sit down first and count the cost. You know, whether he has sufficient funds to finish it. That's happily after he had laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it. You know, all that behold, he begin to mock him and say, this man began to build, but was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consult it, whether he be able with his 10,000 to meet those that come out against him with twice that number. Or else, why the other one is yet a great way off, then you send it a message, an ambassador, and desired conditions of peace. You know, so likewise, you know, talking about, you know, this one is about discipleship. That's right. Whosoever of you that forsaketh not all he hath, you know, to follow me, to be all in, cannot be my disciple. You got to be all in. You can't put your hands on the plow and then look back. You got to count the cost. And that's why we should, when we preach to people to give their lives to Christ, this gospel of convenience, which a lot of people preach, is not only not scriptural, it's not helpful to anybody. If you tell them that if you give your life to Christ, you come into Christ, everything is going to be all right. Well, what if everything is not all right? That's not what the scripture says. You know, so whether it's going to be all right or not all right, you know, that's for us to find out. But one thing we do know is that the Lord gives us the grace and he stays right there with us and he gives us strength. You know, these things happen to all. Ecclesiastes says, look, all these things happen to everybody. You know, but the difference is when you have the Holy Spirit, he will enable you. You know, it's like, you know, you've got that parachute when the plane is going to crash. You know, the crash may happen to all, but you've got a parachute to jump and others may not have it. You know, so, you know, God wants us to be prepared in our heart for everything, you know, and whether it's rough, we know at the end it will all work out. But, you know, even this scripture that we quote all the time in Romans 8:28, you know, most people quote it wrongly because the scripture says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, you know, and those who are the called according to his, you know, purpose and so forth. You know, but the way we quote that scripture in our minds sometimes is as if everything works for good. And that's not what he said. There are some things taken individually that may not work for good, maybe tragic, a single event or singular events. But when you take all together, all things, not just one, let's assume there are 10 things that will happen to a person in their life. You know, it has to be all 10 things, not just one or two or three, or not just any one of those 10. It's got to be all the 10 at the end will work out for good. That's why I say all things, you know, so it's not, we know that everything works together for good. No, it's not everything, but it's all things, you know. So when you are going through and it doesn't look like it's working out, that's just one thing. It's not all things. You know, if you stay with it, all things will eventually work out. And people need to remember that and not forget. Zechariah chapter 4 verses 6 to 9 gives a very important principle. Some part of it we all quote, but there's another part of it that I want to bring out today. You know, in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, the Lord's talking to us here about, you know, the enabling of the Holy Spirit and how he does it. You know, he said, you know, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel there shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now, this is the part that I want to read, though. That part that I just read, we all know that. But in the next verse, moreover, that means in addition to what he just said. But you got to do not only the first, we got to understand not only the first part, but this part that comes after the moreover. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. Not, you know, he didn't put his hands on the plow and look back. I will enable his hands. He started it. He will also finish it. You know, so that's part of the lesson for today. May the Holy Spirit enable you to be a finisher. Enable your hands that are on the plow, stay on the plow and finish what you started. Glory to God. So your hands, he said, Zerubbabel's hands laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Now that's the concept of the finisher right here in the scriptures. You know, you start it, you finish it. Don't start it and then pull back. No. Now, who has despised the day of small things? You know, the Lord said. Now, these, you know, the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the earth. So you must be all in. And God will enable you to be a finisher this year and not just a starter. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's part of the today's lesson on putting our hands on the plow and not looking back. You know, those stay with it. But you must finish the race. to even get a chance, you got to finish the race. You know, so if you don't finish the race, you'll never get a chance. And, you know, that's the lesson that God wants us to learn today. Praise the Lord. Now, I've told the story before, you know, of a track and field event in the Olympics, where the U.S. Women's relay team, they dropped the baton, and one of the veterans on that team, you know, said, pick up the baton and finish the race to her teammate. And even though it was looked too late because the, you know, the race was already almost over, well, you know, said, just finish the race already. So the, you know, the rookie picked up the baton because of the advice of the veteran, Alison Felix in this case, and they finished the race. And when they finished the race, they had a chance to do what is called file a complaint, you know, against, you know, being bumped. She was actually bumped to drop the baton. You know, and so on and so forth. Some of you may know the story. You've heard me say the story before. You know, they got reinstated. They had another chance to run the race, and they got into the finals based on time, and they ended up winning the gold in that race. You know, Olympics. You know, I think it was 2012 or something like that. You know, now, if they did not even finish, you know, the race, well, they would never have had a chance. You know, so they had to finish the race. You got to always finish what you start, ladies and gentlemen. I can't say that enough today. Finish it. Let your hands be like Zerubbabel. That's laid the foundation and also finished it. Now, before you go any further with anything, count the cost. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, it doesn't look good on you. As a matter of fact, he said, you're not fit for the kingdom. If you're a starter and not a finisher. So be a finisher. And may the Lord enable us to be a finisher. Now, the protest that the people filed for that race and all of that, they could never have done it if they didn't finish the race. But those are the rules. You know, you know, first you finish the race, then you go and file your protest. So, but if you didn't finish the race, it would have been over. And the veteran, she knew it. You know, the other rookies didn't know it, but she said, well, we got to finish the race. Well, it's race over. Finish the race anyway. So they picked up the baton and then just, you know, trotted down the lane. The race was already way over. But, you know, now they have a chance, but they finished the race. Now they have a chance now to go and file a protest. And when the officials reviewed it, they found that, yep, indeed, she was bumped by the person next to her. And it wasn't their fault. And so they reinstated them to run the race again. And they qualified and eventually went on to win the gold. That's an amazing story. But only because they finished the race. Pick up the baton and finish the race. Even if you drop the baton, pick it up. Hallelujah. You know, so don't let the baton just drop and then you walk away. You know, don't walk away in the face of anything. Be strong in the Lord. And the power of his mind, you know. I mean, let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's not be pushovers. You know, don't let some situation in life push you over. You got to make up your mind. You're going to stand your ground, you know. Guess what he says in Psalm 125. This is the way we should be, you know. We should not be pushovers. And Psalm 125 describes it so very well, you know, for us. Not only does the Lord surround his people, you know, like the mountains, you know, surround Jerusalem, but those that trust in him, what happens? Well, they'll be like Mount Zion and they cannot be removed. It doesn't matter what comes their way. They will not be removed. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, abided forever. You can't do it. You cannot remove that mountain. It's going to be there forever. You know, and the Lord himself has the mountains around about Jerusalem, so that it surrounds you. And Jesus gave many of those principles. You know, he talked about, look, building your house on the rock so that when the storms of life come up against it, it will still stand. Well, that's the mentality, that's a concept that we must have. But let me talk about eyes, you know, that all of that was on, you know, hands on the plow. You know, let me talk about eyes on the promise. Because this is, you know, that's the, you know, it's a two-part lesson today. Hands on the plow, eyes on the promise, all in. Now, we've talked about hands on the plow, how you must finish what you start. But let's talk about eyes on the promise. And anybody who's been in this room for any length of time would have heard me say, when I talk about the promise, promises of God are so important. But the number one rule about promise, that's my rule, is look, first, you must know what was promised. You know, if you don't know what was promised, then it's not a promise to you. You know, it's only a promise if you know that it was promised. That's just the way it is. But most people don't consider that. Somebody promised something and you never knew they promised it, then it's not a promise to you because you never knew it was promised. So that means we take time to find out the promises of God. You know, we did the when I did the faith specs, I talked about that all the time. You search the scriptures to find the promise. That's the S. And you are persuaded, that's the P. And you embrace it, that's the E. And you confess it, that's the C. You find that principle. It's one of my favorite guiding principles to life. You find it in Hebrews 11 and 13. He said, these all died in faith, not having obtained the promises. But they saw them afar off. You know, so That's the S. And they were persuaded. That's the P. And then they embraced it. That's the E. And then they confessed. That's the C. So S-P-E-C is spelled out of that verse. Well, it's a short verse, but it's so powerful. It's loaded. So let's see what that all means. Well, what was it that the Lord promised for this year? There's a lot of things, you know, our big journey, like I said before, the promise of the Lord said, I will not leave you comfortless. It has the Holy Spirit there. And he also said in John 14, you know, same place. He said, look, my going to build a place. I'll come for you, you know, and so on. So we have that hope. And the Bible says that has this hope in himself or purified himself. So we're walking towards it. So I'm going to bring this lesson together at the end. If you have the hope, if you have the eyes on the promise, then you got to keep working on it and don't give up. That's what this lesson is all about. So there are some promises that since the last year till now, there are some exciting things that the Lord has promised to help us keep, you know, the fire in our bones for what's ahead every day. Emerge and quantum leap. You know, you got to keep your eyes on these promises, your hands on the plow, and don't give up and don't give in. If the Lord got you started on something that looked like you were emerging, and then you later on fold your arms and give up and fold it up and pack it in, you see, then you already missed the mark. You know, and I'm always believing God for whatever he said. Now, you know, my responsibility is to believe and act out my faith. Keep my eyes on the promise and keep on believing. And, you know, from a young man and up, I used to think this in my heart. And I said, Lord, when I stand before the Lord, because we must all give account for, you know, for our lives, right? I often said in my mind to the Lord that, look, I want to be when I stand up there to show that I believe for everything, whether it came to pass or not. I want to be able to say that I believed it, you know, and that's my responsibility. Now, his responsibility and his prerogative is he will do it if that's what he wants to do. If for whatever reason, though, he doesn't do it, well, I'm still going to believe that he was going to do it anyway. So I never want to be faulted for not believing. Because that's the thing. They say, well, why couldn't we cast him out? Well, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So that's always the thing, you know. Why couldn't we cast him out? Because of your unbelief. Why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we do that? Because of your unbelief. You know, so I want to make sure that I believe God for everything. Now, once you know what was promised, though, because it's not a promise if you don't know that it was promised. And then what? The Lord promised that you will emerge. Then what? What do you do about it? What are you going to do about it? Yeah. So let's read some stories, an interest, you know, interesting set of stories, which we know again, but let's see what happened. You know, and it's again part of this lesson we were doing yesterday. You know, what God promised was that he was going to bring them out of their bondage of that many years, 400 years and so forth. God sent Moses that he was going to bring them out. And then in Numbers chapter 13, you know, chapters 13 and 14, we see a remarkable story of how people did not, repeat, did not, you know, put their eyes on the promise. You know, in Numbers 13, Moses began to, according to the instruction of the Lord, began to send forth, you know, some scouts to go check out the land, you know. And so in verse 21, we're told of Numbers 13 that the people he sent, he picked one from each of the tribes, and among them were, you know, Joshua and Caleb. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as the men came up to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, and, you know, where there was Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai and the children of Amalek were there. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came by the brook of Eshcol and cut down, you know, the ends of branch and all of these things and so forth. You know, now, verse 25, they went through searching the land. So they searched the land after, you know, 40 days. And then they came back to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of Israel. And, you know, and then they have to report. What was it? Yeah, 40 solid days. They went through, they searched out the good things in the land too. The good fruits. They actually brought the fruits of the land, you know, and so on and so forth. But you know the story. Not only did they bring the fruit of the land, they also brought an evil report. Yeah, this is sad. This is how people are. The Lord on the one side is doing things, yet people are discouraged on the other side. You know, these things go side by side. They brought the fruit of the land, and yet they brought an evil report. Now, not all of them. Two of them did not. I mean, the remaining 10, you know, they came to the people. They said, look, you know, we came to the land where you sent us, and it's flowing with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. So they actually brought the fruit. We got all these, you know, look at all these fruits. Look at all these things that we got in the land. It's a great place. It's a great place. But we're not going to be able to get there. You got there. I mean, of course, they went by stealth and everything. That's how they got through. But, you know, all this multitude coming in, there's no way we can get there. Now, if we, you know, they're saying, look, you can see what lies ahead. You know, is that it's fruit, good fruit. They brought all these things. But you said, look, we cannot get there. Because to get there, we got to pass through the Amalekites and all these things. And there are giants in the land. And we cannot do it. You know, and they began to tell the people, you know, we cannot do it. The, you know, the people that are there, they are strong. Their cities are walled. They are very great people. And we saw the children of Anak there. Anak, you know, these people are giants and so forth. And they said, we can't do it. And they made the heart of the people to melt for fear and for discouragement. And this is what the Lord promised, that you got to go through and get to this place. But, you know, so the people that went out to search it out, they're saying, look, we can't do it. It's not going to happen. You know, so, but Caleb steal the people before Moses. Now, there's somebody that's going to have their eyes on the promise. Let us go up at once. Now listen to the words of Caleb, because this is a man that had his eyes on the promise, you know, and he said, look, we started out, you know, it's been a long journey, but the Lord is going to get us there. This is where we're headed. We're not. I'm not dying in this wilderness. I'm going to promised land. Well, a lot of them would eventually end up dying in the wilderness because they did not sanctify the word of promise. He said, look, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, that's someone who had their eyes on the promise. And all the men that went up to say, we are not able, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought an evil report, you know, and they said, look, the land which we searched through it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in there are men of great stature. Giants. Well, you can even see how they contradict themselves right here. First, they said the land eats up the people. Well, if the land eats up the people, then the people should be diminished. You know, and they should be miniature in stature. And then they said, well, we see people there that have a great stature. I mean, so this is how unbelief contradicts itself. You know, it's like contradictions against the word of promise. All kinds of things. You know, because, you know, all they saw were giants. Said, look, we saw the giants there, the sons of Anak, which are some of the giants and so forth. And, you know, in our own size, we look like grasshoppers. Are you kidding me? I mean, the Lord sent them out, but now all of a sudden, they look around, they saw the, it's kind of like Peter. He looked around, he saw the boisterous waves, said, I can't walk on water. You know, then he began to sink. I mean, these people, they went out. There was a mission, and they saw the good of the place. And instead of just saying, look, this is the good of the place, the Lord will get us there. They said, no, yeah, the place is good, but we can't get there. You know, and they began to make the people to be afraid. Because they did not keep their eyes on the promise, and they did not sanctify the word of promise which the Lord told them. And you turn to the next chapter, in chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and wept all night. The children of Israel also murmured against Moses and Aaron. They said, look, you know, you should have left us to have died in Egypt, you know, and all of that. I mean, you told us God was going to take us to this place, but now we can't get through, you know. I mean, it's even better for us to have died in the wilderness. Well, be careful what you say, you know. So why had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Why it not better for us to return to Egypt? Eyes on the promise, hands on the plow. Don't look back. Don't even think about Egypt. Don't even give up. You started something that, based on the promise of God. Don't pack it in. Because when you started in the spirit. Are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh? Because now you see the giants that are on the land. You started based on the promise. The Lord said you will emerge. And that's how you started. You know, and then you started actually emerging. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff comes up. Because stuff will always come up. It's like, you know, Jesus said in Mark 4, let's go over to the other side. And, you know, they got in the boat. All right. But, you know, the storms will come. It doesn't matter that Jesus said, let's go to the other side. It doesn't matter that even Jesus is in the boat. There are storms going to come up against the boat. So if you think that, oh, the Lord is with me, there will be no storm, then you are sadly mistaken. The Lord was with them in that boat, but yet the storms came against that boat. You know, but the one that had his eyes on the word that he spoke, that was Jesus. He knew what he said. Let us pass over to the other side. That's all he said. So he was going to sleep through the storm. It didn't bother him at all. Now, the others that did not sanctify the word in their hearts, they panicked, you know, and they started to cry out. So, you know, that's the thing with life, though. You know, unless you get a different instruction from the Lord, stay the course. You heard it today. Now, the Lord may come to you and tell you, well, the brook is dry. Now move on. If he never said that, then stay the course. You know, and don't let the mind be the one that will tell you that. You got to be able to know the voice of the Lord so you can distinguish that he is the voice of the Lord. But if the Lord didn't give you new instruction, then stay the course. And sometimes when the Lord gives you instruction at first, you know, he expects you to trust the word, and then he may go silent and say, well, I'm not hearing from the Lord anymore. Yeah, because he already told you that you are going to the other side. So now he can go to sleep. He doesn't need to babysit you through the thing. He already told you what's going to happen. So he goes to sleep. And that's what it looks like on us. Say, well, the Lord's gone to sleep. He's not talking to me anymore. I've been praying, looking for strategy. And the Lord's not talking to me. Well, he already told you. But now you panic because of the things that you see around you. So don't panic now. Stay the course. Now, these people didn't. So we see that they started to murmur. And they said, look, let us make us a captain and return to Egypt. My goodness. At that time, Moses was like, ah, you know, of all the things that God has done for us, even the Red Sea and all of that, all the plagues when everybody was dying in Egypt, he kept us all alive. Not even a dog wagged his tongue against us and all these things. My goodness, when everybody was in darkness, we had light. They began to fall on their face. Now, Moses and Aaron, they fell on their face. They began to cry. They rent their clothes and so forth. You know. Now, and they, you know, so Moses, he was really grieved. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, those that went up, they said, look, they tried to calm the people down. They said, look, listen, folks, listen. The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Yes, you saw the fruits that we brought. And if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. And he will give it to us. And yes, the Lord did delight in you. That's why I told you to give up. I mean, to go up. You know, say, go up. Now, And he told them, look, the Lord will give us this land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord. Now, when we turn our hearts against the word of promise, that's rebellion. That's what this lesson is telling us here. The Lord gave them the word of promise, go forward and possess the place. And they said, we can't do it. Well, that's rebellion. Now, only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. That's where the saying, we'll have them for lunch, came from. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, these are people who, two of them, kept their eyes on the promise. They encouraged themselves because they know the Lord promised us, and he'll see us through, and we are able. You know, now, yeah, this Joshua man, you know, he never backed down from anybody. He said, look, we are able to go up and take this place, and let us go up at once. But the others said no. Now, so the ones that did not keep their eyes on the promise, they actually persuaded the rest of the congregation against Joshua and Caleb. And all the congregation wanted to stone them with stones. They wanted to say, look, let's stone them. They just want us to go and be killed there. And before they could do it, the glory of the Lord. Yeah. He appeared right there. And then everybody had to shrink back. And then the Lord said unto Moses, well, how long will these people provoke me? You know, how long will it be before they believe me? And this is the thing. If you don't believe the Lord, that's why we call this lesson, believe. You know, if you don't believe the Lord for all the signs which I've showed among them, I mean, when are they going to believe? Now, and the Lord began to say, look, I'm going to smite them with pestilence. I'm going to disinherit them. You know, but Moses, the Lord said, look, I'm going to disinherit these people. I will start something new with just you. I'll get rid of these people. So, of course, we know that Moses interceded for them and said, look, remember that your name is your reputation. And people have heard the fame of you saying that this is a mighty God. And then what are they going to say now? You know that, you know, because he couldn't save them, he couldn't keep them alive. That's why he destroyed them. Said, don't do it now. You know, and Moses, he interceded for those people at the time. And then finally, you know, the Lord softened up and said, well, okay. However, now, he said, well, however, these people, they are not going into the land, you know. And he told them, look, here's what he said in verse 20. The Lord said, well, I will pardon according to your word, but as truly as I live, all the earth. Now, when the Lord begins to say that, he's really angry now. You know, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, because those men which have seen my glory and my miracles. Now, be careful now. You've seen all the things that the Lord have done for you. Time and time and time again. You've seen his miracles. But now you see these things that look like giants on the way. Things that are not making things go. The business you started based on the promise is now looks like it's not going anywhere because, you know, of course, there are giants on the way. There are storms on the way. There are tempests rocking the boat. Now, if you pack it in without the Lord giving you the say so, then you'll be just like this. And so the Lord said to them, look, you know, they saw my miracles. They've tempted me these 10 times. They have not hearkened to my voice. And he says, surely they shall not see the land. Now, he said, look, but my servant Caleb and so forth, I put a spirit upon him. He has wholly followed me. Him will I bring unto the land, and his seed shall possess it. Now, he told them also, he said, look, this evil congregation is murmuring against me all the time. He said, say unto them, in verse 28, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, saying, you know, Did you bring us in here to die in the wilderness? Even so shall I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. All that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years and up. And I'll save only the younger generation. The rest of you, you are murmured against me. You are not going to come into this land, which I already swore that you should come in. You know, but your little ones, which you said should be his prey, even them will I bring in. And then he said, look, I will bring these little ones in, but the rest of you will fall in this wilderness. Your children wander in this wilderness for 40 years and so forth. And he said, look, you went to such a place for 40 days. You're going to bear your iniquity for 40 years. 1 year for a day. You will wander around until all of you have perished. And then you will know the breach of my promise. Now, this is the most severe statement I have ever seen in that Old Testament, that the Lord will say a thing like this. And this is Numbers 14 and verse 34. Ye shall know the breach. I mean, my breach of promise. Can God breach his promise? You know, the Lord said, I'm not a man. I will not alter the thing that's gone off of my mouth. I will not change it and so forth. But he changed it here because the people would not sanctify the word of promise. This is how dangerous this thing can be. When you dilly-dally on something that the Lord already told you, something he promised you, if you dilly-dally on it, look, it's like even... Let's not dilly-dally in sickness. Let's not dilly-dally in anything. Your children who are wayward, don't dilly-dally in it. God's going to bring them back. Every promise in this scripture, God will stand behind it 100%. Don't even for 1 minute think in your heart that the Lord will not bring those children back that have gone astray. The Lord will bring them back. You know, now, I mean, or it may be a situation where, you know, there's some evil that befell a family member. Don't worry about it. Stay with the Lord. Pray and believe him and he will do it. Now, many promises. You know, here's one for the children. And I'm going to come back and do something for the children. I love to do that from time to time, you know, and we've done it from time to time. I'm going to come back and do it again, maybe next few days. Give more promises throughout the scriptures for children. Now, listen to this. The Lord said in Jeremiah chapter 31, you know, and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work, and I put in parentheses, over these your children shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the earth. Of the enemy. And how do I know he was speaking about children? Because of the next verse. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. You know, so look, we may have had children or grandchildren or whomsoever were, you know, wander away from the Lord. Stay right with this promise. Hallelujah. Don't give an inch. use these promises every day. To pray them in. And the Lord will do it too. Illnesses and sicknesses, the same thing. Stay with the word of promise. Whom shall you believe? Whose report will you believe? The Lord? You know, look. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. You know, it says, look, there are many things that we hear in life that we believe. Right? But what about the word of God? This verse in 1 John 5, 9 says, if we receive the witness of man, then the witness of God is greater. I mean, what are the witness of man? You know, every time you listen to the news, you watch Eyewitness News or CNN or your local news or whatever, all the bad news that they report and everything, you believe it. You're not there, but you believe it because they reported it. you know, and you just believe it. And most people believe, some people even read anything on the internet and they just believe it, hook, line, and sinker. Whether it's true or not, they believe it anyway, just because they read it. Well, well, that's foolishness in its own right. But nevertheless, if we receive the witness of man, then the witness of God is greater. Now, what's the witness of man? You got the doctor's report. A doctor's report diagnosed you with an evil and incurable disease. Well, that's the witness of man. What is the witness of God then? I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's right. You know, that's right. Now, which one are you going to take? You know, what's behind door number one or behind door number two? Which one are you going to take? You know, that you've got an incurable disease. That's not incurable as far as God is concerned. Incurable for medical science, yes. But I am the Lord that healeth thee. He can even raise someone from the grave after days of being in the grave. Call Lazarus out of there. You know, and he told Ezekiel, you know, can these bones live again? He said, well, I don't know. So I'm going to show you that they can live again. Didn't matter to the Lord. Lord can do all these things. So never mind those evil reports. Believe the Lord. If you need to cry out unto the Lord and pour your heart out unto him, do it. That's good. And the Lord will hear you. But don't give up and don't give in. Stay right there. Whether it's your children you're praying for, whether it's your, you know, illness or sickness or yourself or family member, whether it's a business or something. Some people are entrepreneurs. They started out well and then things are going south and then they, you know, then they doubt. It's like Peter, he started out well. He jumped out on the, say, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. The Lord said, come. And he jumped out, you know, and he was walking on water. Walk on, Peter. And he was walking on water. And then all of a sudden, you know, instead of keeping his eyes straight on the Lord, that's eyes on the promise. I said, come. Keep your eye on the Lord. No, he didn't. He looked around and saw that the waves were boisterous. The waves were boisterous all along. The waves didn't just start being boisterous. They were boisterous all along. But as long as he kept the eyes on the Lord, he was able to walk on water. But when he gave, you know, turned his eyes away from the Lord and looked at the scary circumstances around him, then he began to sink. But he had no sense to cry out. So if things are starting to sink around you, well, you better cry out. But the Lord said this thing, very, very tragic statement that the Lord made against the children of Israel. Ye shall know my breach of promise. Wow. Why? Because they did not sanctify, you know, the word of promise. And these are people that have seen incredible acts from the Lord. It wasn't just that they have never seen anything. I mean, the Lord would have been more patient with them if they were, didn't know anything, didn't know any better, you know. But these were people that have seen all kinds of signs and wonders from the Lord, even the parting of the Red Sea. So the Lord was not, you know, he has had it up to here with them. And he said, well, you're going to know my breach of promise. I promise you this thing, but you're not going to get it. So ladies and gentlemen, let me refine the statement that I made at the beginning, that it's not a promise to you unless you know it was promised. That's number one. Number two, unless you continue to sanctify the word of promise in your heart, then the promise might be breached. That's right. You know, so not only do you know that it was promised, you must know it. You got to keep your eyes on that promise and keep walking towards it. That's hands on the plow. Walk towards the promise. Each way, I mean, each moment, there may be some crossroads that you will get to. You go back to the Lord. He give you strategy, but not to turn back. If he wants you to turn back, he'll tell you to turn back. And if he hasn't told you to turn back, and he most likely won't tell you to turn back, he probably wouldn't. But he might give you a different strategy. Well, don't go through here, go around here, or do this or do that. But determine in your heart that my hands have laid the foundation of this house, like Zerubbabel, my hands will also finish it. Hallelujah. You know, so I'm going to pray that the Lord will put the finisher anointing. Glory to God. That's the lesson and the anointing for today. And I often say there's a different anointing for each service or each time we preach the word like this. So today's anointing is the finisher anointing. Glory to God. I'm going to pray. Now these people, these 10 versus the Caleb and Joshua, they did not have the finisher anointing. They started out, they saw something good, but they couldn't finish. You know, but Jesus said, you've got to finish. In Matthew 24 and 13, if you do not finish, you cannot get the crown. Paul said many same things. You know, I fought a good fight. You got to keep fighting the good fight. I've kept the faith, you know, and so forth, you know, and I finished my course. He stayed with the program until he finished it. Well, we have not finished our course, but are you staying on course? Are your hands on the plow? Then keep your hands on the plow. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing forward. Put the pedal, to the metal, or however they say, you know. Don't give in. Don't give up. And keep your eyes on the promise. Keep that promise right in front of your eyes. And encourage yourself with it all the time. Just like Caleb and Joshua said, the Lord has said it and we are able because the word will enable us. That's what God said to Zerubbabel. It's not by power. It's not by might. He put that out there first. He said, look, it's by my spirit. And this mountain that is in front of you that make your heart to melt and you think that you cannot go through, I will make it a plain, said the Lord. But remember, your hands started it. Your hands will also finish it, saith the Lord. Now, I am going to pray. Remember also that faith, initially, in the word of God is important. And keeping on believing is even more so important. Because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, this story of these people, the same people that he brought out of Egypt, delivered them with a strong hand. Afterwards, he destroyed them all because they didn't believe. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, we have started out believing the word of God last year that said you will emerge. You started out believing the word of God that said this will be a quantum leap year for you. Where are you now? Are you still, are your hands still on the plow? Are you all in? Are your eyes still on the promise? Or have you packed it in because of giants and mountains and different things along the way? You know, the terrain may have become rough. yeah, but that goes with the territory. You know, even Jesus coming here to redeem the people, was it going to be easy? Of course not. As soon as he came, did people believe on him and everybody gave their lives to Christ? And everybody, no! They slapped him around, they rejected him and everything. You know, so that's the same thing with us. You know, whatever it is God has promised, you're going to meet with contradictions against that word of promise. All kinds of things will come up against you, your face and your mind, everything. Even people will tell you, you can't do that. That's not going to work. We can't go up. We can't take the land. All these things. But you must believe till the end. Now, you know, the Lord promised us that, you know, all things are actually possible if you can only believe. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. You know, there are things that may not be possible unto us, but not to God. And you may not know how God's going to do it. Well, you know, that's none of your concern. If he wants to tell you how, he will tell you. If he doesn't, well, that's up to him. But your responsibility and mine is to believe. Hallelujah. And we must keep believing. Whether he tells you the whole story or not, you know, you must still believe. And he doesn't always tell us the whole story. And he never, probably will not always, tell us the whole story. There are some things he will reserve unto himself. Known unto God are his ways from all the beginning. If he chooses to share them, well, praise the Lord. If he doesn't share them, well, so praise the Lord too. Because Jesus said, look, you have now believed because you see, told Thomas. He said, well, blessed are those that don't see, but yet believe. And the Lord may not show you anything, but he just spoke it to you and you may not see it. But if you believe it, blessed are ye. And blessed is she that believeth. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. And on the strength of that last verse, I'm going to pray for the finisher anointing upon everyone that's listening in here this morning. If you're right here, the Lord said to you, Luke chapter 1, verse 45, blessed is she that believed, but there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. You know, and there are many she's in this room. Look like the Lord is always trying to encourage the women. You know, who is that she? That may be you here this morning. Well, it applies to men also, but the Lord loves the women particularly. And, you know, I'm trying to encourage you. And, you know, Elizabeth, you know, trying to encourage her cousin Mary and so on. You know, so I'm here trying to encourage you also this morning. Believe the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. Say, believe the Lord. You know, and so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets. And that's how you're going to prosper. Well, I don't make myself out to be a prophet or anything, but I tell you what, when we bring the word of the Lord like this, you know, it's equal to the prophetic anointing. So you better believe it, because that's how you're going to prosper. So now I pray over this room in the name of the Lord Jesus for the finisher anointing. Hallelujah. Now I say to everyone that may be in a position like Zerubbabel that started something and then mountains jumped up all at him and looked like he couldn't do it. I pray, even as he was spoken to him, that not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I pray the same for every one of you that's in here today. Now you may have started a program. Maybe you're going to school and the thing became very difficult and so forth. And you thought, well, look, let me just pack it in. I can't do this. Sure you can. Praise the Lord. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That ought to be your posture. Don't you ever say you can't do it. If you say you can't do it long enough, the Lord might say, well, because you said it, then you won't do it. So don't say that. Say, I can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I pray the finisher anointing upon the hands that started anything in this room. The hands of Zerubbabel started it. His hands also shall finish it, saith the Lord. I pray that the anointing that came upon Zerubbabel, the finisher anointing, will come upon you in the name of Jesus. Your children also, those that are, you know, maybe they're trying to be discouraged and so forth. They, you know, they face some difficult things in life and then they try to give up in their studies and so forth. May the finisher anointing come upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus. You started it, you finish it. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's learn from the best, our Father who is in heaven, because he always even finished anything before he even started it. It's all done. I am Alpha and Omega. It's finished. Hallelujah. Before the world began, the Lamb was already even slain. He finished the work of salvation when there was even not a single soul upon the earth. He already finished it. Hallelujah. So Lord, I thank you for the finisher anointing in every life. Now, I come against sickness and disease. You know, the sicknesses and diseases, they plague us, our bodies and so forth, to weary us out so that we'll not be able to do the things for God. I come against that stuff in the name of Jesus. I come against every handwriting of a bill of or any writing from a doctor, any medical writing, any diagnosis of evil and so forth. I come against that in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Stay with the word of God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. The Lord said, look, I will put none of these diseases upon you. Now, if the disease came upon you, then it's not from the Lord. The devil did it. And this, an enemy has done it. And the Lord pray the spirit of reversal. Hallelujah. Let the Lord reverse that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what about your children that are wayward or grandchildren or whatever, wherever they have gone? You stay right with the word of God. Don't ever say anything negative, because the Lord will bring them. And he said, look, I'll bring them back from the land of the enemy and they'll come back into their own border in the name of Jesus. I pray for your businesses. I pray for those of you who are on the job. you know, you prayed for it and the Lord gave it to you, and now it's very difficult. Because the blessing of the Lord comes with a complete package. It comes with blessings and it comes with challenges. The roses come with thorns. And now you see the thorns and it's like they're trying to choke out the life of the roses. But not so. The Lord said, I am the Lord that enabled your hands. You started the work. Your hands will also finish it. May the Lord enable you to receive this finisher anointing on here today. Hands on the plow, eyes on the promise, all in, not looking back and not giving up and not giving in. And the Lord, even your God, he will not tarry. He will come through for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.